Welcome back to the No Panic Zone here on the Steve Gerber Show. It's Studio G. Good to have you here. So glad we built this facility a couple of weeks before everything really started to hit the fan. Worked out for us. We had an off-site bunker, I suppose, and worked out. My next guest, Luke Glaser, president and co-founder of Michigan Future Incorporated. He says Michigan residents are struggling even before this happened. Lou, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Reading an opinion piece in the Detroit News said that 4 in 10 Michigan households could not pay for basic necessities prior to this event, or is that because of this event? I'm not quite clear on it, but help me out.
No, this is before the event. This is structural. So I think the first thing that's worth noting is that op-ed piece I co-authored with Sandy Barua, who runs the Detroit Chamber, and Dave Meter, who's the vice president at DTE. So what we're basically presenting is sort of the economic reality in Michigan in 2019, when the state, by all traditional measures, had a really strong economy. And yet the Michigan Association of United Ways found that 43% of Michigan households could not pay for basic necessities. So what that op-ed is basically saying is two things. One is the three of us as co-authors believe in capitalism and a market economy, but we also want a market economy that broadly shares prosperity. And on that, we've been failing over the last several decades.
See, I got to jump in here because you're sure. Telling me 43% of Michigan households couldn't pay for housing, childcare, food, transportation, health care, phone, and taxes. I find that hard to believe.
My guess, it's interesting right now. So here's the reality right now in Michigan today, which is 60% of the jobs in Michigan pay less than $20 an hour. 40% pay less than $15 an hour. I think that is one of the...
Wait a second. 60% pay less than 20?
Yep, and 40% pay less than $15 an hour.
Well, that's not possible. I mean, that's 100% of the jobs. All right, I got you.
The 60% includes the 40%.
I got you.
Right?
All right, it's less than 20. And 40% less than 15.
Right,
but many
exactly.
of those jobs, but hold on, a lot of those jobs are entry-level jobs, and I don't know where you got your statistics.
I mean, so for Michiganders who are 25 to 64-year-olds, we're going to get way too much data, but I do think the data is important. So you've taken off the table younger workers and retired workers, both of whom we think don't need sort of full-time family-sustaining jobs. For 25 to 64-year-olds who worked in Michigan in 2018, and their total work earnings, which includes first jobs, second jobs, gig jobs, overtime pay, bonus pay, you name it, total work earnings, 45% earn less than $40,000.
Now, I know that in some of the rural areas of Michigan...
It's not first jobs, part-time jobs. There are lots of adults, and that's what we're going to... You know, that's what you're seeing happening now with all the layoffs because of the virus and everything being closed right now. There's simply a lot of workers who are in low-wage jobs who are adults.
So I'm reading this, and, you know, even in prosperous counties, 1 in 3 households struggles to meet basic family needs. According to your research. Now, where are you getting the numbers? That's what I have to ask you. Where do these numbers come from?
So all this stuff is from the Michigan Association, the United Ways. They use the work is called ALICE, which is an acronym for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. But it is a fairly detailed calculation, cost of living adjusted by county. And by family size of what it takes to pay for basic necessities, which is largely food, transportation, health care, and housing, and child care if you have kids.
Well, I understand that. Housing, child care, food, transportation, health care, phone, and taxes.
Right.
I get that. But basically, based on this, we should have, you know, a million homeless people in Michigan. That's why the numbers seem awfully high. Now, these numbers might make sense after the coronavirus, but I'm just trying to get you to the numbers here because they seem awfully high. Because when I go to the mall, or you know, prior to this all happening, if you went to the mall or you went out to a an area that had a couple of restaurants on a Friday night, and you could do this anywhere in the state, big town, small town, the places are all packed. You know, so it makes me go, now how is that possible? If everybody's struggling to make ends meet, you know, where are they spending their money?
Well, so it's, first of all, it's not everybody, obviously. 4 in 10 is not 10 of 10. So I mean, I just think we tend to underestimate the number of people who work in hospitality jobs and retail jobs and cleaning jobs and all of these sort of in personal care jobs, all these low-wage jobs that make it particularly hard to pay the bills, but more importantly, to raise a family. So I want to go back to sort of who signed this op-ed, but more broadly, the op-ed comes off of a call to action that was released a few weeks ago, which simply has the goal of having the state establish income along with employment as its mission, that we want people to have not a job but a good paying job. That letter is signed by an awful lot of people who are working in economic development or who are members of the business community, and what they are seeing in their communities and with their employees is the manifestation of the reality of the 43%. None of them are questioning that number. And as I present around the state to communities, really across the state, I don't get a lot of pushback on the 43%.
Well, you're going to get pushback here because you have to justify the numbers. You know, I'm not going to just willfully accept your
listeners, read the Alice report and see if you think it's reasonable.
Well, and I will. But all I'm asking you to do, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying justify your numbers. That's all. You know, because anybody can throw numbers around and make it sound like it's this or that. Now, having said all that, we're going to go into a much more dire situation now, that's for sure. And I do know that there's a lot of difficulty out there. I mean, I get notes from listeners and viewers of this program, and I know that that's true. I'll give you real quickly the last word. Lou Glazer, president, co-founder of Michigan Future, Inc. You got about 20 seconds. Tell people how they can find you and find that report.
So find Michigan Future. It's MichiganFuture.org. Find the Alice Report. Go to the Michigan Association United Way's website.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it, Lou. I really do.
Sure.
And I'm sure we'll talk again. Keep the numbers coming. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yep.
I just want to make sure that we're right. That's all. I greatly appreciate the input. All right. It's the Steve Gruber Show. It's the No Panic Zone on a Monday. Back after this.
The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is here right now. Get $1,250 off of a 2019 Roxor and an extra year of warranty. That's an industry-leading 3 years of warranty. But then what else would you expect from a side-by-side unlike any other? Roxor is hand-assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. Plus, with a truck-like beltless transmission, you can expect less downtime and more off-road time. Hurry. The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is only for a limited time.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
There are kids at some of the schools in our Greater Lansing community who are struggling with basics like food, clothing, a safe place to live. When you're worried about the basics, it's harder to learn. If you can read and write, you can help these kids, which is a tremendous investment in our community. If you've got some time and want to be a part of the solution, the Capital Area Literacy Coalition could use your help. Visit thereadingpeople.org for details. That's thereadingpeople.org for details.